I know you've got a long history of the blues and playing with some of the greats, and it's always good to have someone with your heritage, in a sense, to come through town.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I wanted, though, to start out with where you're from. I know you're from a small town in Arkansas, from a family that was very musical.
Yeah, I come from a family of 9 siblings, and about 6 of them played instruments.
Man. And now you...
Everybody sang.
Didn't your parents also, your parents play, and your grandparents, and like everybody?
Yeah. Being in such a rural area, I mean, there was nothing there, and you had to kind of make your own entertainment. You know, you had to kind of entertain yourselves. If nothing but work. You were lucky if you got to do sports or anything outside of work, you know.
Is that when you started playing guitar?
Well, actually, I didn't start playing until I moved to Michigan. I come to Michigan in 70. I know it was by 72. It could have been 71.
Okay.
But I come in the summer, and I came just to stay with my sister for the summer. And before we could go home, you know, before it was time for me to go back, my mother had told her she had a change in plan and that we were moving there.
Oh, wow. Did the whole family move up then from Arkansas?
After the fact, but I was there about 6 to 8 months before everybody else got there, because I left the summer before, coming up just for a summer visit with my big sis.
And now she was a musician too, is that where you...
She was a musician, and that's how I got to start playing, because she had instruments at her house. Before then, I never had my hand on the instrument.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure you were singing.
Oh, yes, I started singing earlier, you know, probably 8, 9 years old.
Okay. And when did you first start, you know, putting a band together, even just for fun?
Around about 77, we played a wedding. Me, my brother Carl, and my brother Steve played a wedding for some people that attended the same church we did.
Yeah. I'm sure you were a hit, right?
Well, wouldn't I like to think so?
So, we look at you as a blues man, but really, you play all sorts of music. What did you grow up listening to?
Well, I grew up listening, and before I left Arkansas, you know, it was AM radio, but back in those days, AM radio played a lot of soul music, soul and other things than what they play now. And, you know, it used to be a show called Ernest Record Mart, you know, out of Nashville, Tennessee. Uh-huh. Back in the early days, you know, you could pick up a Memphis station here and there, and then our local station KOKA also played blues music, and really I grew up listening to old school soul music, you know, Aretha Franklin, Gladys Knight, Candy State, and James Brown, you know, Luther Ingram, you know, William Bell, just to name some of the names off the top of my head, you know. Wilson Pickett, you know, Marvin Gaye, that kind of thing. And during that time, you know, it was soul music. You know, they hadn't even come out with R&B at that time, I don't think. You know, it was just being born. You know, people didn't know how to categorize music at the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything that had bluesy content, that was soul.
Yeah.
Black music, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And what kind of blues musicians did you listen to?
Well, I come up listening to Muddy Waters, The Howlin' Wolf, Lightning, B.B. King, Freddie, Albert Collins, Albert King, you know, them were the Bible.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I learned about Luther Allison and next generation players, you know, beyond that, you know. I listened to Fenton Robinson, Guitar Slim, Lightning Slim, Lazy Lester, Slim Harpo. Yeah. You know, if whatever I could get to listen to.
Yeah.
But that's what was going on in my household. That's what the people in my household was listening to. And then when George Benson came out, it changed the whole scenario.
Yeah, now you're talking jazz.
Yeah, you know, I learned about Benson and Kenny Burrell, Wes Montgomery, you know, Jimmy Smith, that kind of thing, you know, which a lot of my people played a lot of organ music as well. You know, that was always a big family favorite, you know, Jimmy Smith, McGriff, McDuff, you know, them kind of groove homes.
Yeah.
Them kind of people, you know. So my people just like bluesy, soulful music.
So when you were first starting playing guitar, was there one guy, kind of like when kids are out in the playground and they're playing baseball. One guy is like Willie McCovey and another is like Babe Ruth or somebody. Was there a guitar player you wanted to emulate? You wanted to be him?
Well, it would have been B.B. King first off the bat. You know, anything outside of my sister, she was my first inspiration. You know, I learned to play in her footsteps. Then, you know, like I say, you know, it was Jimmy Reed. It was B.B. King, you know, a combination of them two. I like the country blues sound of Jimmy Reed of the lump, but I also like B.B. King's guitar and his vocals. So, you know, I was, even from a young age, I was trying to combine styles. You know, I like to add this with this or put some of this with that. You know, that's just the way I saw it, you know.
And I read also that growing up, you also liked watching programs like Hee Haw. That you saw some fine guitar on there and great musicians.
Country music was a big part of our life. That's what a lot of people don't realize, that by growing up in certain locations, certain areas, you know, you can't help but to be influenced by what's around you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, I'm very, very familiar with the music of Merle Haggard, Charlie Rich, Buck Owens, Grandpa Jones, Minnie Pearl, you know, that kind of thing. Tammy Wynette, Donna Fargo, Farron Young.
Yeah.
I mean, these are all people that we listened to growing up. So a lot of people don't realize it, but it's tons of black people that absolutely love country music.
Yeah, that was one thing I remember hearing about Ray Charles, was he liked to play everything and didn't want anybody calling him any one kind of style, because he liked to play all sorts of things.
Right, and as he came on to have a big successful country album at one time, yeah.
But you don't usually see African Americans as country artists or rock and roll. I know you like rock and roll too.
Well, it ain't because we didn't like it; it's because we couldn't get in.
Right.
There's something to be said about crossing genres. It's a lot easier for certain people to cross genres than it is for others.
Sure.
You see a lot of white people playing black music, but you see one or two playing white music.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's because, it's mainly I think because of a lack of promotion, but you can't get to promotion if you can't convince someone that you're worthy of being promoted.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that I always have had in my career in terms of trying to take it to the mainstream. You have to have somebody of power that's able enough to open the big doors for you in order for you to get in and be successful. Politics always have played a big role in the workplace as well. And so, you know, the arts is one thing that a lot of people don't realize, but certain artistry have been totally discredited for a lot of years. And you can't get mad as an artist and say, a lot of people like to play the race card and stuff like that. You can't do that. You have to find other ways to be successful. Number one, if you always blurting out everything and making it be a racial issue or making it be on a color divide, that's not friendly in a way toward people who don't know your struggle, who don't know your battle. So those are topics that you want to kind of keep pushed aside, but yet and still, you know, as an individual, you have to recognize it and know what it is that you have to overcome. But you have to find neutral ways to overcome it without being so obvious that you're trying to make an issue out of it.
Right.
But when you think about it, who really been promoted in this music as a black artist since Robert Cray? He's the last one. And then it had been many, many years before Robert Cray came along. B.B. King is the last blues artist that was promoted as a black individual, besides B.B. King, Albert King, Albert Collins, and Freddie King, who's been promoted in the blues over the last 50 years. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Robert Cray, the only one that I can think of.
Yeah.
Now you got a couple of them that were so talented that were undeniable, but even at that, they were never promoted properly or equally like they should have been in terms of the magnitude of the artists that they were. That was Luther Allison's biggest complaint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Luther was very much a rock and blues player, but he was never promoted as one.
Right.
And he would say that, you know, people would ask Luther, well, Luther, why this and that and other, blah, blah, blah. He said, you never heard my music on the radio because it's not promoted. It's not promoted. That's where that the focus needs to be. And me beating my head against the wall over 30-some years, I realize that now, that it don't matter about who you are or what you are. If you can't get the promotional dollars, if you can't get someone to promote your music, the music business is way bigger than me or any individual. And if you can't find a way to get in, then, you know, you just out there and that's it. You stay the same forever. People don't want to see people like me playing the blues. They expect me to play the blues. They want to see somebody young and cute and handsome and all those things. And a lot of times they don't always come in the same package. My girlfriend told me that Dick Clark said that when the videos came in that it was going to ruin the business, you know, the music business, which it did take away from the primary focus. It was no longer about what you sounded like, but what you looked like and how well could you move and dance.
Now, when we're talking about black artists being promoted, what do you think about this young guy hot on the scene, this Christone Kingfish Ingram? He seems to
be
getting...
I know him very well.
Yeah?
He's getting it, and I'm happy for him. I'm very happy for his success. You know, he deserves it. He's been through a lot, especially now with what happened with his mother and all, but I met him about 5 years ago, and I had high hopes for him, not only because of his talent, but because of the kid that he was, the way he carried himself. Makes me very proud. I'm very proud of that young man, and I can't say enough good things about him, because his mother really tried hard to raise him right. And you can appreciate that in a world today where the young people mostly, I mean, you can't say all young people, but a big percentage of young people, what is the saying is that fear everything and respect nothing. You know, that's kind of the mentality that they have. So when you see somebody that stands upright, it sticks out amongst the crowd. And I think that's very much who he is.
Also talking about promotions, you actually have your own radio show too, right?
I have three of them now.
Three different radio shows?
Yes, sir. I do one in Flint, I do one in Grayling, and I do one in Grand Haven. So I have three radio programs in Michigan, and I'm looking to grow and expand to wider horizons. If I can't be successful playing music, maybe I can be successful playing other people's music.
Yeah.
You know, I'm promoting blues music.
Mm-hmm.
So without being self-patronizing all the time, I try to promote all of my colleagues. I try to promote people that are living today, and yet and still I use the past as a reflection and as a guideline in terms of what I base my selections on.
You're coming up to Marquette this weekend for a show at the Ordock Saturday night.
Right.
And we've focused mostly on talking about the blues, but it's obvious that you love a lot of different kinds of music. Do you play all that kind of music as well?
Well, you know what got me turned in that direction? You know, I told you I started playing when I got here in Michigan with my sister by 72. I was here by 72. So being a kid growing up in the 70s, when I got big enough to go out to the club, I would see, you know, we were musicians, we were trying to play music, but we started out the McCrae brothers or the McCrae family. It was three brothers and a niece and a nephew. And the music that they chose to play and sing was R&B soul music. I mean, we played Fatback Band, we played War, you know, all the music that was popular in the 70s when the funk bands were king. Well, I really love that music, but I love blues music too. And if you played the blues in one of them clubs when you went out, that was the quickest way to clear a house, was just to hear the blues number and if you want everybody to leave. So, I'm telling you the truth. And so my thing with that was that I was very, it was insulting. I mean, my feelings were hurt because it was the music that I loved. And I wanted to figure out a way to make this music more appealing to the mainstream. so that they would be more acceptable to hearing the blues music when they did it, when they did hear it. So I started taking music like rock and roll. I would see reggae. I would see jazz. I saw everything all one and the same. And I tried to figure out ways to put something jazzy in my music, something funky, something maybe with a little reggae, something rocky, but to take all these elements and to try to weave it into a blues that the people would accept. And that was my concept, and that's what made me start trying to develop in the direction that I did.
How's the response been?
You know, the strangest thing, or the one of the most funniest, gratifying things that I have experienced was I just come off the blues cruise on the 26th of January. I was on that from the 19th to the 26th. It was 36 other bands on there, 35 other bands. 95% of those young musicians come on there, the guitar players, all came to me and told me, man, when I was little, I used to listen to you, or you signed this for me, or you did this. And these are all grown men now, like in the 40s and stuff. And I just was so overcome by the fact that they all came to me and told me the same thing, that I was a positive influence on their music. And how glad they were. You know, I did a lot of jamming on the boat. I played with a lot of people. I sat in with everybody I could. And, you know, was quite visible on the boat, but it just made me feel good that all them young musicians came to me and told me that.
Well, that's a pretty special moment.
Yeah, I was really taken by it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I know that you want to break through to the next level, but that's one heck of a level right there. You just never hear about it.
But the thing that makes me feel good is that all of my heroes that I got a chance to meet and be around all accepted me musically and all encouraged me musically, and they all let me be part of their music. I was part of Greg Allman's music for over 20 years. I mean, anywhere he was at, anywhere that I was at, that he was there, I always got invited to the stage. Between him, Warren Haynes, when he was working the Government Mule, always invited me. Dickie Betts, I toured with Dickie, I toured with Warren, I toured with Greg, I toured with Albert Collins, I toured with BB, I toured with Gary Moore, I toured with George Thorogood, with Joe Walsh. And these people all accepted me and invited me to their stages.
Well, we sure are looking forward to your show Saturday night. I think you're going to get a real nice warm reception. Our Blues Society is pretty active and a lot of folks show up, and I think you're going to get a warm welcome, and we're really looking forward to it.
We're grateful for the opportunity and just look forward to the people coming out, having a good night of blues, and hope that they have a good time with the band.
All right.
Looking forward to meeting and making new friends.